live from the Twin Towers of Guys, Games, and Beer in glorious Racine, Wisconsin. Hey, why do we always have to record from the basement?
Because remember what happened when they let us into a real office? Yeah.
Just saying.
They're still cleaning up the mess from that. And then they still haven't figured out how to get those bodies out either. Just saying.
Well, we did try the bathtub method.
And that never on the second floor. You've been told about that.
You put in too much equipment. Hard to move.
All right. So.
It's that podcast again. Guys, Games, and Beer!
All right.
Guess what I forgot to do again.
What? You forgot to cue up the beer cart, didn't you?
I did.
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah, well, it's going to take a few minutes because we actually have to pour this one out.
Good. Well, I totally queued it up. I'm all ready, in fact.
You are all ready. You were totally ready all the time.
Was. Need more glasses?
Take one down, mess it around.
Well, I thought there's four of us, so you just pour for you in a glass and then hand the can.
I was just going to pour this into...
Delicious.
Maybe. Oh, I don't know about that delicious part.
All right, so we start the theme?
Is the little logo? Another logo? I don't know the logo.
It's not up yet.
Okay, we'll put the logo up.
Pre-show, anybody been playing anything good real quick right off the bat this last week?
What, playing?
Haven't been playing any good games?
I've been working because we've got MGC coming up. I've been really goofing around a lot with the new retro arcade Neon. The Neon one is great. The Easter eggs in there are really good.
Yeah. Again, Digital Cyber Cherries does great work. I haven't really checked up lately on any of their progress. I know they were supposed to kind of come up with a game that was supposed to be kind of like toy soldiers fighting each other, kind of like the movie Toy Soldiers.
Oh, that would be really
cool.
But
it's supposed to be kind of like a cartoony, but a little more brutal.
Yeah, no. Like I said, been playing with that. I've got, again, I found I really love Whack-A-Mole in virtual reality.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's really good. The Whack-A-Mole in it is freaking perfect.
Yeah.
I find myself getting frustrated playing Whack-A-Mole in virtual reality.
I'll have to hook up the Vive for you guys, too.
Yeah.
I've had it for, like, the past two, three months, and I've only hooked it up, like, I haven't had time.
And again, we talked about this. It's not just time. It's the space. You gotta
I've got space for it.
Well, you've got space for it.
Yeah, I don't have any kids, so that's great.
All right. Everybody's got some beer? All right. So, Larry.
Wait.
Told
you not to stop. Wait. Nah.
Stop.
Beer court.
All right, so Larry, what are we doing tonight on beer court?
All right, so I got approached with this beer. They said, you know, everyone's always calling you the dude.
Oh wait, somebody actually told you we should do this on the show.
So they're like, so you should try this beer from the Dudes Brewing Company. Yes, they do have a relation to.
To Jeff Bridges?
I don't know about Jeff Bridges, but
the inspiration.
Well, I actually met him, I told you.
Yeah.
When I was in LA.
I thought it was Larry.
I was like, what's Larry doing up there? And the dude, it was his birthday. He was at a play, the dude, the musical.
Yeah.
And we had a really nice conversation. Nice guy. Told me he was ever in the area.
So they apparently this brewery likes to specialize in sort of specialty beers in some ways. This is from the Juice Box series.
Oh, man, Ben, it should be here. Man, he always calls his champagne his juice box.
His adult juice box.
Yeah, so, I mean, this beer is, here's a brew that will appeal to you. See, they're gonna
that's because it's a blood orange amber.
Yes, it's a tantalizing blend of cocoa, vanilla bean, and, California blood oranges. So
just throw the whole kitchen sink in there.
Does
we got a flavor? Let's have it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
All right, well, let's give it a try and see what we got here.
So, all right, cheers.
I gotta be honest, it looks more beery than I expected.
Beery?
Yeah.
I can damn well taste the cocoa.
The smell is very overpowering. It's not I don't think it's bad.
No, but I'll tell you right now, you know what I don't taste in it? The blood orange. I taste the cocoa.
There's a little
and
bit
the vanilla. And the vanilla.
They can call it hot cocoa.
Yeah. No, honestly, hot cocoa would have been a better name for this beer.
Well,
it's... The smell really threw me off.
Is it bitter?
I'm okay with the taste, actually. I'm not...
It's not too sweet?
No, it's not sweet. It's not
seems
a sweet cocoa.
Bitter
it's like,
to me.
You know what? It's like a bitter chocolate.
Well, and you know what's interesting is it's called an amber, but you and it looks kind of like an amber.
It looks an amber,
but it's more like you would like a port. I know what the taste is.
The taste is if you crushed up one of those orange chocolates that look like
it.
And then stirred it in beer.
That's exactly
that
what it is.
What this tastes like?
Yeah, you're right. Those are those oranges that they sell. Yeah.
Yeah, those chocolate oranges.
I would agree with that. I had that image in my head. Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I think your palates are much more refined than mine. I tasted like those malted milk balls.
Whoppers.
The first thing that my butt. Like,
yeah, no, that cocoa. A malted milk ball.
I was worried about smelling chocolate until you said it was cocoa in there. I'm like, okay, I'm not going crazy.
You know what? I would not go out of my way to buy this regularly, but this is a very interesting novelty beer.
This is a good
conversation piece to bring to a party.
Right, or you know something? A dessert beer.
Christmas.
Dessert beer.
Yep. This would be a freaking awesome dessert
beer. Christmas beer.
Think about this with like a nice nice chocolate dessert or something. Could be pretty damned awesome. Or even if you went with like a very citrusy dessert, this would probably be a really good beer with that.
Again, my biggest complaint is you get like no orange on it.
No.
Like very little.
No, very little. Maybe touch citrus at the finish.
It is 6.5% though, so I will give it good props on that.
Oh, props on the alcohol content. But what you really get out of it, what I'm getting out of it is the cocoa.
Yeah.
Is the cocoa, man. That is front and center on the flavor.
Yeah, yeah. So hey, it might be maybe a little mislabeled.
I would say mislabeled. Again, hot chocolate beer would have been good. Because it's cocoa.
Weird.
But I think it's a dessert. I can really see this as a dessert beer.
Alright, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I wouldn't go out of my way to buy this.
Yeah, you are up to this, the second good beer you bought.
Which is suspicious because Larry is
as the resident guest, I'm gonna hit the majority on this one and go.
Alright.
That's one of the few thumbs down I've done.
Yeah, you haven't done a thumbs down in a long time.
Well, then you haven't said anything either. So all right, you can't explain.
I've been listening, and I'll say that I detect a faint taste of rat's ass in this. a wee bit of dirty sock, dirty teenage sock.
Definitely teenage sock.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'd serve it to guests if I didn't like them very much. It tastes a little bit better once you drink a little bit more.
Yeah, just keep drinking. It's 6.5, right?
Alcohol
6.5. It'll help. Trust me. It'll make the flavor improve immensely as you get to drinking it. No, again, I'm good with it. So, again, that was, what, 4 and medium and then a complete down on that.
Again, I'm a little off put by it.
You know, okay, now I just burped. I could taste the citrus when I burped. There's the citrus.
It's so magic.
So is that the twist?
No, there's the twist. Your burp, come on. Burp, and it's all citrus, okay? Just going to put it out there right
it's
now.
Not wrong.
That was a citrusy burp.
It's not great. I got to tell you.
No, burp. Burp once, man. You'll get that citrus.
I'll wait for it to come out the other end.
You ain't going to get the citrus there.
I might.
Oh, that's
very tangy. That's citrus.
Oh,
that's citrus.
We keep it classy.
What a K. All right, Judge Rob.
Well, one last thing. They do end with their little tagline: "Orange, you glad you picked this up."
Oh my God! Stop at the puns.
Yeah, really. You know something? You can overdo the puns, okay?
And all this, guys, all puns.
$2.99.
Okay, well, now, you know, wait a minute. It's a deal at that price,
yeah.
Okay?
16-ounce
cans.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
or 16-ounce cans
it's
with
a
that
four-pack
alcohol
of that on sale, or you'll be buying some Steel Reserve.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a tough choice. No, I'm good with it. I'm really good with it.
You're right on that citrus on the burp.
You did too. Thank you!
That might affect my vote a little bit.
No, it was really weird. It was really weird. I was like, I burped a little bit. I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot of citrus in
that. It tastes like a dreamsicle.
Yes! All right,
like
Judge Rob.
What
did you mention, Judge Rob?
Orange Whip It or dreamsicle?
Pass judgment on this beer.
What the hell?
I count one of being rat's ass. I find you guilty of
rat's
ass.
Really
I
We gave it a better rating than Rat's Ass. It may have a... They have used a little bit of Rat's Ass. The judge is overruling us on this.
This is, if they can rebrand this like a Willy Wonka beer, it would be pretty awesome. Yeah, you know, your burps are going to taste like oranges. It's got chocolate flavors. Like, that's wonderful. With some rebranding, this could be a truly excellent beer.
On count two of being an annoying orange, I also find you guilty. And I sentence you to, well, I'm going to drink your ass, so, you know.
All right.
Ain't that bad.
No, it's not that bad. No, honestly, if you can find it, pick it up. It's worth a try. You know,
for $3, I mean, geez.
Yeah, was that on sale, or was that, like, the going price on
it? Yeah, I was clear.
I said it was handed to me, so.
Oh, well, who gave you this one?
This is compliments of my brother.
Ah, all right.
He just found it in the street.
he was at Woodman.
I have drank garbage.
Oh, I think the boys would like to try something new and interesting. How about this?
That was new and interesting. I'm going to give him that one. All right, so, Rob, what's the real topic tonight?
Well, we will be talking to... Holy crud, we forgot to go through the interview format.
I did.
You did?
Of course I did.
I totally missed it.
Like,
I was not
so
attention.
Go ahead and
so
start.
So today we're with...
Matthew Timmons.
With?
Epic Quest Publishing.
Hey, welcome to the show. Hey!
Set our standards low, and we meet them.
Dang straight we do. All right, so...
I'm not even sure we do.
We're here to talk about everything that Epic Quest Publishing is doing. I've got some certain things I want to talk to you guys about, but why don't you go ahead and give us a rundown about Epic Quest Publishing?
Sure. Epic Quest Publishing actually started primarily as a company to make modules to kind of take the first edition Pathfinder, really spread it out to what started as Dragon Wars of Traith. So that was kind of the main masthead that it started. As they added more people, it slowly turned into a little bit more of a... was starting to feel like a parent company that's got a lot of subsidiaries. So we have Epic Quest Productions, which is what we focus on video, we focus on... gallery, image, and Epic Quest Publishing is really starting to push itself into t-shirt design, module printing, manual printing, and then, of course, our newest product, which is Consilium, which is a large project in and of itself, but it's turned out to be a really fun one, so.
Yeah, and I, again, that's one of the products I want to talk to you about, because this is something very new.
Yes.
Now, not new to conventions in general, but new to gaming cons. So I do a convention. I'm reproductive biology, and so
we're
you
mature.
Knew. You knew
so mature.
Really? You had to go there.
You so knew.
And they have a program similar to what you're talking about here, and we'll go into a little bit more about that in just a bit. But so let's go back. You guys have really kind of branched out into everything at this point. Let's go back. I want to talk. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Again, the Dragon Wars of Traith here. So, basically, again, you started as modules. It sounds like you have artwork and stuff like that. Is this kind of like a world people have kind of really grown attached to as modules are published, and you kind of decided to kind of expand what the scope of it is?
Well, you know, Nick, who I got to know a number of years back, he started a number of years ago with one of our artists out in the U.K., working on the printing, working on the items, I should say the world, like you said, of Dragon Wars of Traith. And since then, he's turned it into a whole series of modules. So it's, like you said, some people have grown attached to this. We've gone to a couple conventions now where we have repeat people who show up. They want to play the next module that we bring. We just for kicks and grins, Nick put together 3D dungeon boards and all that so that we could actually give them a full immersive experience. And that was a huge attraction for some of these people. And so
you had some of those boards at Noncom, right?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had
they were really cool.
Yeah, we've got some pictures.
They're pretty detailed, you know.
Yeah, the work on those was amazing, actually.
Admittedly, it was a little disheartening when we were at Nexus and last year at GaryCon when people would walk up and they'd say, "Hey, I really like your stuff. How much for the game boards?" Like, well, it's that's real cool. It's not what we're selling, but
I'm glad you're interested.
Right.
$10,000 sound good?
You know, I'd be lying if I said that wasn't close to what he quoted them, because it's a lot of work goes into those.
Oh, yeah.
So when we were at Nexus and we were just putting it out on a table saying, "Hey, everyone, go ahead and play with this," I'm looking at Nick like, what are you doing? This is a lot of money sitting on this table. And he's like, ah, we'll get people and it's fine. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no problem. Go ahead and put all that money on the table.
Let me just say, at that point, I wasn't the marketing director. And now that I am,
that decision changes a little bit.
I don't know how risky in some ways that is because, you know, gamer people generally have a lot of money in their own stuff.
Right, so they're very careful when they're using other people's stuff.
So there are, you know, you show up in people's personal collections that are, like, in sleeves and stuff. So, you know, they... Yeah. Hey, guys, so it's no eating on the table, if you don't mind.
Right. Yeah, you're right. The gamer people are good about that. They do know that when you put on a display, with that detail and with that much going on.
We've done a lot of cons, and like we brought a lot of gear and stuff. People have been very respectful.
Well, that's good.
You got to be careful though, because if you don't secure, like, there's going to be that one person. All it takes is one person to ruin it.
Right, but and there are accidents that happen. You know, you like spill beer or something.
Or somebody spilling beer on a Primal Rage 2 machine.
Yeah,
Galloping Ghost was not happy.
Yeah, last year.
A prototype machine.
A prototype machine at Midwest Gaming Classic, Galloping Ghost. And again, nice thing about it's one of the cons where they actually allow you to walk around with your drinks and so on.
And let you play stuff.
And let you play everything. Somebody spilled a beer into a prototype machine.
I think they only ended that.
No, they recovered it.
They ended their policy.
No. Galloping Ghost is just be more careful. It's just you have to do it.
They told us to quit drinking beer in there.
They did.
Larry and I both got it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They said, "You guys, someone spilled on a machine."
We're a little gun shy at this point.
Yeah, we're a little gun shy. We're living in people.
Larry's like, "It wasn't me." He's spilling beer everywhere.
Well, if you put beer holders on all your games, like...
It's not like you've seen beer drinkers before.
Not there, especially. All right. Okay, so... So, again, that's kind of where you guys all... Where you got your roots started. And you just mentioned you guys are now in video production?
We are dabbling a little bit, as you can see on our website, which we're just is an ever-constantly improving thing, just with all the things we're adding. Epic Quest Productions is now... one of our subsidiaries that we're focusing on video production. We're focusing on a few photo gallery elements. We've talked about the idea of doing something even similar to weddings or something like that, where we offer digital online galleries and portfolios and all that. And
now, that being said, will this have a fantasy bent in it, or is this just like something you're adding on to the company?
Originally, we wanted to focus just the entire company itself on gaming conventions. Like, we just wanted to have everything fantasy-based because we knew what our market was. I mean, you're talking with some of the people in our group. I mean, we've, you know, even legendary TSR people involved with us, you know, 40-plus years of gaming.
Let's talk about some of those. I want to get back to that because you do have some legendary... I'm old. I've been doing this since Gen Con was at Parkside. So I've met a lot of those people, but we'll get back to that.
He
is old. None of us are.
So we really wanted to focus on the gaming conventions, but then as we...
You know. Okay, continue.
As we added more people kind of to our group, we realized kind of the breadth of knowledge was over a lot of different industries. So,
how many people are in Epic Quest? I mean, I realize you have a core group, but it sounds like you have quite a support group that goes around this as well.
We do. We actually just signed on a, for lack of a better term, a director of product development or research development. And what he does is he kind of goes out, he researches with these small up-and-coming game developers who want to get their foot in the game development door. And that's kind of what Epic Quest Productions is going to be part of, as well as Epic Quest Publishing, is doing game development, game publishing for people as well. So he's kind of our play tester. He samples it, brings it to the board of directors, and we all kind of vote on it. But we do have our board, which consists of about six or so people. We have some artists as well. We got an artist out in Britain. We've got a whole slew of DMs that we work with who we have playtest, and then of course you know, of course, at the forefront is Nick and Nicole, and they kind of steer the whole ship.
Right now, you're focused in the pen and paper world. Are you going to expand, or any thoughts on the board game element, or as far as, like, game development and that kind of?
Sure. Well, and that's what the individual we just brought on, his name is Max. That's what we just brought in with the game development with board games and the like, is he's going to be solely responsible for reaching out to these new game designers, having them send. I think we've just gotten two in the last couple of weeks. So they send in two of their samples, and then he kind of critiques them, goes through, talks with the developers what the purpose is, and after he decides if he likes it, he'll bring it to the board. And the issue is that, you know, he's a real hardcore D&D style, you know, hack and slash player. So I just know we're going to get a handful of people who want to submit their next little, you know, princess game that Barbie something, and he's going to immediately tell him no, but we have already told him to be objective on these
only
things.
Only if Barbie's head comes off at the end of the game.
Well, you know, as a game developer, you know, as a person who wants to sell games, make some money, Pretty Pretty and Princess made some money.
Yeah, well,
you know, when I was growing up, I had a daughter, and she loved to play that game, and I played it with her, and you know what? They're fond memories for her and I at this point.
And sometimes you need to have games with that bent to get people into gaming in general. We've always talked about gateway games that can get people in. Yes, it's great to be a hardcore gamer. We all love our hardcore. Sit down with pencil and paper and a stack of Dyson books and go. But
or a board game that takes 30 hours.
There's a few of them. There are a few of them. But you still need the gateway games. We've done whole shows on gateway games. So that's more on the publishing end.
Well, I have a few more questions. As a publisher, And tell me, you know, are you looking for more like, oh, we'll help you do this, or are you looking to buy games outright and then you'll just publish them, you know?
Right now, how it's set up is we're really looking to kind of team up with the developers and take their idea, help them develop it to a point. And that, you know, that's why we've got some of our artists nearby, because as I understand it, one of the game developers who came to us had everything in pen and paper and pencil and submitted it all and said, here's my idea for a game. When can I expect it to be published? And there's the classic story of the, the gigantic monster in 10x10 room that the game developer completely missed, you know, where it's like, oh, well, I'm just going to stand outside the room and shoot it until it dies. You know, it's, so he's gone back and forth with this individual and kind of working with that person. But we really wanted to team up for at first. We've got our own, with the years we've got with gaming and board game design, I've got six games I've designed under my belt as well that I'm thinking about pushing toward the company, but at the same time, you know, I kind of hold them back a little bit. So we really want to pair up with people right now.
Right, so it's going to be a joint venture, basically.
Yeah.
You will guide them along to get them to publishing point. You'll do the publishing for them when the time comes out. It'll be published under whatever their name is, basically. And then you guys will just, again, take care of the publishing and distribution.
Yeah, well, that's a big part of it. And we've gone back and forth whether we should put, to use a big example like Fantasy Flight, how they'll have small developers submit games and then they'll publish it as Fantasy Flight.
Right, they buy the rights outright.
Right, and we talked about that, whether we want to approach it that way. I think right now we're kind of working with them to help them publish, and they'll obviously do the distribution on
Again, there's a big thing to be said of kind of bringing your game to outside eyes and things like that. Because again, you could have a great idea for gameplay, but having it really put through the muddle. I've playtested a lot of games, and it's really easy
guy comes to you, and again, it may have been a solid game mechanically. But all of a sudden you start, these sketches,
it's like a nerd consulting firm.
There you go, a nerd consulting firm.
Yeah.
So,
it's, you know, it's hard. You know, I came up with a game, and, you know, as we know, and it's like, it's hard to sort of get it moving forward if you, you know.
But that's where somebody like these guys can step in.
Yeah.
And again, if you've got the basics, if you've got the mechanics down, and even a general idea how you want the art to be for the game, they can put you in touch with the right kind of people. They can look at the mechanics and say, this part of the mechanics worked just fine, but this you're going to need to correct. send it back to you at that point. Like Trevor said, more eyes on the game. Send it back to you at that point and say, yeah, this part of the mechanics don't work as far as the game goes, so we need to fix that. Put you in touch with contract artists. I take it, besides the gentleman in London, you probably know a few, more than a few contract artists by the looks of it.
We do know quite a few. We've got quite a few editors as well who have currently been going over our right. own stuff to worry about.
Well, you know something, and that's part of it. Also,
editing makes a big deal. Miswritten rules will make or break your game.
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about it. No, rules that are unclear.
Written sentences.
We literally played a game completely wrong on the air.
It wasn't completely wrong.
It was only 80%. No, it was only 5.4%.
And then had the author come back to us and go, you guys weren't even close on that.
Well, but then again, it was one of those deals where they're like, hey, no, you found our holes.
Right, but that's where an editor is important. The editor will look at your rule set and say, this doesn't, you know, it's just not clear how this is supposed to go. And that's why you need people with gaming experience and editing experience, so they can fix both of those problems and get you back on track with that. So, it sounds like you've gotten quite a few submissions already, or you made quite a few contacts on that line already.
We've had a couple in the past couple of weeks, and we've really only just opened up this aspect of the company fairly recently. And I think part of it was because with such a small staff, we want to focus on, you know, kind of the bigger drivers of the company. So, you know, even putting all of our eggs into Consilium, you know, we're still trying to be hesitant. We're still trying to say, okay, we've still got Epic Quest Publishing and Dragon Wars of Traith that we got to focus on. So that one was the game development, game publishing is still fairly new for the company, but we expect it to grow really quickly, just because a lot of people have great ideas, and the problem is they just don't know the next step.
Well, again, the current environment for gaming has gotten to a point where these ideas, there's different marketplaces to bring them, depending on what you're doing. I mean, if you're making a classic board game and you've done all the work yourself, which there are groups that can do that. It's really difficult to do. We've met quite a few groups who have... Rob, why are you touching...
Just gotta report a static. Don't worry about it.
Just keep going. As
keep going.
Wait, point out
how he was just casually getting done.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna get up.
Quietly working.
I am gonna point it out.
You wouldn't notice if you weren't watching.
I am gonna point it out in the middle of the show.
It's okay.
We've worked with a lot of groups where, so as far as developers go, we've literally worked for everything with. Just a couple weeks ago, we had a gentleman on the show who is a single game developer. He did all the work himself. I mean. Which is unusual nowadays.
You know, speaking of, you're tied in the area and that, and I can't really confirm. Is there a game jam going on in Milwaukee coming up? Anybody know? And this is completely...
Wow, you really just threw me completely off. Yeah. Thank you, Larry. Thank you so much.
I know who you're talking about. Tony.
Right.
And he said he's coming to an event in Milwaukee that's like a game jam, and I thought...
There's the one that we do that we've been to, and there's also another one meetup in Milwaukee that does that as well, but that's...
Well, I thought, as you're working on finding developers and stuff like that, jams will be a place
that to... That is a place to depending on what kind of game you're looking for, but... Okay, so let me, oh, Christ, now I gotta...
Thank you,
Larry!
Now that you just derailed that train.
Just derailed me! So, what we were talking about is, again, you get game developers who can do development from start to finish on their own. Ones that need a little bit more help with that. The thing is, nowadays, with so many other marketing for gaming, you have, again, you can... If you are lucky enough to have a team that can put together a game, you can kickstart it yourself, you can put it on, the one that Troy's on all the time.
The Game Maker.
Game Maker, thank you. You can put them on Game Maker, and Game Maker actually has a lot of tools to help you along as well.
Forgive me. I said Tony, I meant Troy.
You meant Troy. Yeah. But do you see that as being competition, or do you see that as just one more way to go?
To be honest, the way we've looked at it, is, you know, because we're still so new, in this particular aspect, is we've looked at it as a way for people to kind of get their foot in the door without really committing to any of the larger companies that are out and about. Part of it is because we have so much depth of knowledge in the gaming industry itself, it's really helpful to be able to spend more time working with the developers, to working with the designers, to figure out the core mechanics, figure out what works, what doesn't work. So that way, in case, let's say they do eventually, you know, they pay their ticket, they pay their total fees with us, and they do decide to go with, you know, a bigger company, then that's fine, you know. But the issue is that we love the ability to work with the people directly, and we've really felt that a lot of the larger companies don't spend that time with the one-on-one groups with these people to really build that community, I guess I should say.
No, and that's a good point. Now, so you had mentioned earlier, you guys work with some pretty heavy hitters in the industry. And that's something you bring to the market that I don't think any of these other companies, or even doing it on your own, brings to the market. So let's talk about that a little bit. About go ahead and drop a few names here.
Sure. You know, I guess the big one is, I guess we can say we have Harold from TSR, who was
worked with Gary on that.
He
yeah.
worked with Gary. He was, you know, the legal counsel. He was the legal director, the big head honcho in the legal department. He's, you know, had a huge foot in writing the old modules, writing the original original boxes, and it's been a pleasure to work with him. But it's also really intimidating too, because it's, you know, I'm coming in and oh, it really is. You know, I've been gaming for, I think, since I've been 11 years old, which compared to, you know, people like Harold, you know, even people like Nick, that's nothing. Like it's barely scratching the surface. When I come in and third edition was the first system I played, and they're talking about things like white box, I'm like, it's white box.
So we met them at Spring Revel back in Lake Geneva. Back in the, probably had to be 82-ish, me and my little brother drove out to Lake Geneva in a freaking snowstorm to be at Spring Revel and got the chance to meet Gary and meet these guys. And it was just, again, you forget how nice it was to have that community here. So, besides him, you're also working with a few other people from the original group.
We are. We've actually been spending quite a bit of time with working with Luke in terms of upcoming GaryCon that's coming up as well. So Luke Gygax, we've been working with him. A couple of the other names, which I guess I'm not sure if I should really mention them because I've been told I can
no,
really
then,
start
don't
dropping
mention,
a ton.
Don't mention, you
but
just,
I will say
you that just dropped two very
I did
large
drop two
names.
Big names. So.
You just dropped two very large names. You're pretty good on that. So,
name dropper.
But this is something... So, again, when it comes to game sure. development, if you're developing games in this particular genre, this is something you guys bring a lot of expertise to. You've done some amazing work on your own. You bring a lot of, let's put it this way, star power to it as far as people who might get a chance to look at your development. I mean, those are some big things to bring to the table.
It is. And like I said, it's working with, I guess I'll mention Harold again. Working with Harold, it's really interesting working with him because he got a chance to experience the old, you know, the old tropes of the fantasy game, and you try to run something past him as a cool new idea. He's like, "Oh yeah, we were doing that back in 79," and you know, it was, and there's this other dungeon you should run. I'm like, "Okay, let's Harold. I'm talking about this one," and he's like, "Yeah, nothing's new to these guys," but at the same time, that's really refreshing because when you can have the same idea as someone as big as someone as big as Harold, it's really.
Yeah.
So I think it was actually Rockheads event. We actually hosted our own little gaming convention at Rockheads in Kenosha,
which we missed.
Yeah,
we were out of time.
We haven't been Rockheads in years.
Yeah, it was meeting Alan. That was a lot of fun. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He's been doing that forever.
So when we were there, I think we had maybe an hour or so downtime, and I'm sitting there talking with Harold, and he's going over all these old dungeons and traps he used to build, and I'm just taking notes for my upcoming D&D session, and they're not nice notes. They're like, "Oh, I'm going to get him. So working with people like that, people like Nick, too, you know, it's when he started kind of the Dragon Wars of Traith, when he started that, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, it started so small, but now it's turned into, you know, module after module, a lot of playtesting. You know, we've got a guy who, explicitly does playtesting now with us, and we're pumping out the new ones at a QC Fest and GaryCon, and it's exciting because I think that's something that we can really offer in terms of the game development to these people is you're not just working with a company, you're working with game developers, and it's to me, that gives me a target company to order you.
No, that makes a huge difference. It really does.
Let's start talking about Consilium?
I really do want to talk about that, because that's actually the big new thing they're getting into. And to me, this is something very exciting. So now we've kind of gone through the history of where you guys have been. But let's talk about where you guys are going. I mean, this is a really interesting... And I'm not going to say new idea, because I've seen this done before, but it's new to this genre and new to these kind of conventions. So let's talk about Consilium.
Okay. Consilium, I believe our full tag is Consilium Events Management System, I believe is what we settled on at some point. But Consilium, really what it comes down to is we're taking that giant thick manual that you get at the beginning of every game convention. You walk into Gen Con, you get that giant entire Tolkien-esque collection, you know, book.
Of events.
Right, of events and vendors.
Games,
and,
right.
And we're taking that entire book and we're putting it into your phone. And that includes all X thousand of activities and events that are going on. It includes the hundreds of vendors that are going to be there. It includes outside merchants that... So Nick approached me when we were working Nexus. We just finished up a table. And he approached me and he said, I have a really cool idea. I think it will really work. But I can't tell you about it because you're probably going to take it. And I said, well, and he said, the reason I say it is because, you know, I know that you do web development, you do web design, and you've built apps and so forth. And he said, but I can't tell you what it is until you sign a non-disclosure. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to sign a non-disclosure unless I know what I'm signing it about. And so I think we had 3 or 4 meetings where we decided how to approach that topic alone. I would be lying. I would be lying if we didn't say we had an NDA for the NDA. It was, because I'm not just going to sign immediately. But so after we squared all that away, he told me we need a way to manage conventions, events, game cons, everything from your phone. And he said that the biggest issue that everyone has at these giant game conventions is they don't know where anything is.
Yeah.
And he said, if you push it even a little further, if you're a vendor, it is one of the most frustrating things to be squatted in the back of a vendor hall and no one knows that you're there.
Well, and speaking from experience, so, again, we have a family member who works for Wizard World, and they really, are mainly a vendor type event. But we go to Gen Con and all the other cons, and some cons have small vendor areas. It's not a problem. You can wander around. Mm-hmm. But you get to a place like Gen Con and their vendor area. You go to Wizard World, you go to any of their events, the floors are gigantic.
And you're thinking pyrotechnics, not a good idea.
No, not a good idea. So, yeah, no, you're not shooting up a flare to find out where you're
right
at. But, yeah, it's really an issue. Where is this vendor located? And very often, I know who I want to go see vendor-wise.
Sure.
There's a particular game I'm looking for. There's a particular item I'm looking for. And I know the vendor. I may have gone there, the year before. But God knows where they are this year.
Right. Yep. And that was one of our biggest concerns is we wanted to improve not only the experience for the attendee and the user, but we wanted to improve the relationship between the attendee, the vendor, and the con.
Right. So, I was saying earlier, I go to, I'm an IT at a convention. I'm also, again, reproductive biology.
It's not a sex convention.
It's not a sex convention.
For the second time.
Sex reproduction
is quite uninteresting.
It really is, okay? I'm just telling you right now.
Some parts of it are.
So, yeah, the parts we cover generally are uninteresting, okay? There is an application called Guidebook, which is very similar to what I think you guys are trying to achieve here. What a difference that makes. So this is something that they've been using for a few years, and it makes the world of difference. I mean, for attendees to know where things are, what's going on, get push notifications when things change. Holy crap.
Especially something so data heavy. Again, when you're going to these big events that have hundreds of different game events, things like that, I do have to say, it sounds like what you guys are trying to cover I do not envy the task ahead you have ahead of you, but again, I definitely am interested to see how it all pans out, because again, it could be a real game changer.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
So literally, and again, we've been going to cons all our lives. Nothing like this out there. Not again for gaming conventions. Not that it doesn't exist, like I said, in other industries.
Yeah, but again, you have special needs you need to cater to. Right. Again, a lot more interaction for users who enter a game.
A lot more vendors.
Yeah, a lot more. Again, the vending side of it, again, you have to have somebody to run a game, you have somebody to join those games. Again, you see pretty rudimentary solutions where, okay, a GM doesn't show up, you write it on a whiteboard outside, things like that.
Right.
Specific places to check. In a vendor hall, again, if it gets packed, like, so you might know where something is, but it's buried by a crowd of people.
Right.
You know, it's, again, there's a lot of so, its own hurdles that you have to do with the gaming convention.
Again, so Consilium will do for the convention goer.
Right. What it really does is it turns into the do-all, end-all way to navigate and fully experience a convention. So you brought up Gen Con, and tens of thousands of people, 64,000 people go to Gen Con every single year. You've got hundreds of vendors. And then, of course, there's the thing that people like to call the crush. You know, right before they open those doors, you've got thousands of people waiting to just rush into the vendor hall. You know, we wanted to take that entire situation and just get rid of it. We hated that. We hate the idea. And you know, even when you go to small cons, you know, I've been to Gary Con, I've been to Nexus, been to Game Hole. So I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I'm fairly new to going to conventions because, personally, I never really went to them because, well, I mean, they cost money and I was young and didn't have it, so.
That'll do it.
But as I'm slowly turning into a semi-functioning adult, it's one of those situations, and I say that close to 30, and really, yeah, it's taken a while.
He did say semi.
Right, that's right. I look at these conventions and I still wonder, you know, it's the way they are. Is it worth the money to go? Is it really worth the time and the investment and the road trip and possibly airfare to go to these really... I would love to go to Gen Con. But then when Nick approached me with this and he explained what it did and how it would affect the people going to Gen Con or Gary Con or some of the bigger ones, it made me want to start going to gaming conventions because I know that I'm going to be able to find what I'm looking for now. Like, it's no longer this battle to try to navigate.
So is it broken down by category then?
Yes, we've actually got it broken down a couple of different ways. From the user perspective or from the attendee perspective, they can create their account and they can completely surf all the available activities that are being hosted. So at GaryCon, for example, which we're going to be at, and we're actually going to be there as in official capacity as Consilium. We're really excited about
that.
So this
is kind of a rollout for you guys.
It is a semi-rollout. Like I said, we did host our our own personal convention that we wanted to test it at.
Right. Okay.
And, we got a few dozen people because it wasn't a huge thing, and it worked. But then, yeah, GaryCon is going to be our big launching point. It was going to be QC until we finally managed to convince Luke and the rest of them to let us in.
The way to go.
But we're really excited because from the attendee perspective, they can go in, they can see all 1,200 activities that are in there. Broken up by day, they can search for a particular type, they can search for a category. And if I go and I say, I'm looking for a Magic the Gathering event because I got nothing going on for the next 2 hours, I can type it in.
Right.
And I'll have all the Magic the Gathering events that are coming up.
Okay, so you talk about this, doing your events. Does it, a daily schedule for you as well?
You can actually book them long in advance. So, for example... Right. We actually currently have the GaryCon site down right now because we're finishing up some of the more exciting touches we're adding, which we just tested at a resort. We actually just tested at a large-scale resort, and it turned out to work. So now we're going to...
I think it's the GPS features?
That is one of them, yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, GPS features are important. I really like the idea. So this is something that some of the other things... A guidebook does not do this. A GPS feature is great, a great idea, because if you can say, at these coordinates, you're going to find this game or this vendor, that is going to make your life so easy. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, and again, when you get to larger convention centers, like they do at the Indiana Convention Center where they have Gen Con, finding where things are located can be difficult. So if this thing's doing in-house GPS, that's really brilliant.
And that's exactly what it's doing. And that was actually something that we just finished up before we did our large-scale test was we loaded in a map, and personally, and I'm thinking when I'm developing this, I'm thinking it's going to be really easy. Just load in a map and then throw it on GPS. It doesn't work that way. You have to add geo coordinates to every single corner of that map. You have to go in, and then you
sure that they actually hit the right spot. Yeah,
exactly.
Especially when you're inside.
And then you hope to God that whoever made the map actually made it to scale.
yeah.
So the first map that I tested on, we had a. It was a mess. So what I ended up doing is I ended up going into actually Google Maps and finding where it was on the map and then drawing it down into an actual, like, cartography style map. And when we did that, I was actually able to get the real coordinates. So after you tile it out like that, I had to put it into our other system where I actually add markers to each individual thing. So if you talk about something like GaryCon, in the vendor hall, you'll be able to zoom in on the vendor hall and there'll be each individual booth. And each individual booth will have a marker on it with a GPS assigned to it.
Wow.
And then if you click on it, it will tell you, and we've actually worked this out, and this is part of our vendor program, is they'll be able to put in their special of the day, they'll be able to put in their image, and they'll be able to say exactly what it is that they are. And you just, all you have to do is click on it, and it'll show
it's
you.
Like Google Map of conventions.
Right? Yeah, no, it's freaking
awesome.
Exactly what it is.
That is so freaking awesome.
And the one big thing that I've been battling, and I actually had a contract out through a company in Germany to figure this out, we actually added a geolocate feature. So now if you click on that particular place and then you click the geolocate button, it will actually show you on the map where you are and it'll show you how to get to that exact table.
Nice. Okay, I have to ask. So the problem with convention centers, you very often have bad signal.
We
downloading the maps in advance and then...
No, we actually have it set up right now to be web-based. And the reason we did that is for that very reason. So people can load it via Wi-Fi, they can load it via their own 4G or whatever it is they have on their smartphone. Obviously, the one big caveat for this is they have to be in the 21st century.
Well, yes. But that makes better sense to have it web-based than app-based at that point. Because the problem with app-based is that at that point you're relying completely on the signal inside. Right. Whereas...
I do have to say, though, again, for most conventions, 95% not a problem. But when you get to these really big conventions, you get a lot of people with a lot of different devices.
Right.
And it can be kind of a cellular black hole even with a good device.
And so web-based takes care of that issue.
It takes care of a large portion of it. There was still the issue that you still have a lot of load time because with 5,000 people, all trying to use the GPS at once, it's going to slow it down. Well, we designed it to be web-based for that very reason. We wanted to kind of keep the load time really small. We have a maximum of 3 maps built in, and then there's dozens of layers on top of each one of those, which also cuts down on load time. However, one of the things that we're working on is we're working with the venues, with the conventions, about setting up mobile hotspots. And we've contracted out through companies like AT&T and the other ones, and they've given us prices for how much it would cost the venue to set up various Wi-Fi towers at the location. So any convention we go to that's got a big thing, we're going to have it contracted.
That's
so everyone will have Wi-Fi
just a few repeaters.
Yeah, that's freaking brilliant. The technology's gotten so much better than
right. To do those, and you're right. You can put a small repeater in. That's a really good idea.
So.
Just
we use them at work.
Game conventions at this point, or
at the moment we're just doing. A couple of game conventions, like, for example, we'll be at GaryCon, we'll be at QC Fest out in Iowa. We've got NonCon next year. We're really excited about rocking that one again.
Gang's great.
I'm actually going to be at that one because I missed the whole experience with the beer, so I'm going to be at that one.
The beer was amazing.
That's what I hear.
Oh, my God.
I did get a glass, but it was kind of really...
Kind of a rough day.
Yeah, we were all on that. I'm really glad I went to that one.
Yeah. No,
right?
Really good. But that means that we were 3 beers into the day, and I was like, wow, why are we so drunk?
We're only 3 beers into the day.
Oh, yeah. 17%.
Oh. It was a really surreal experience when Nick came back and he said, "Oh yeah, here's a glass from NonCon, and it's just an empty beer glass." I'm like, "Wow, thanks."
What about Game Hole?
Game Hole, we haven't reached out to them yet. Or actually, I guess I should say we have reached out to them before we got all the updated features on. We wanted to kind of hold off on approaching a lot of these conventions until we were ready to actually give them something.
They're actually to a point where it can be, like, they're kind of spread out. I mean, they're starting to get big enough where
They are in critical mass, and I can see something like this really being of use to them because they, again, their growth has been so explosive.
First one I thought was Beefeg, because Beefeg was a mess to find stuff in.
Well,
that was one of the things. Sure, the guy had a lot of great devs there, but I couldn't find him half the time. You know, half the time we just had a horrible time finding vendors that we wanted to talk to, or groups that had a great game that we maybe. They made contact with, somewhere. And they're like, hey, I didn't see a Beefeg.
We were there. So many buildings, you know.
And you know, that was one of the concerns I had when we first kind of looked at Gen Con. And we are obviously going to pitch this to Gen Con, and we're going to try to get them on board, which, frankly, I think anyone who goes to Gen Con would love to see us there. But we're going to approach them, and that was one of the concerns, is, you know, you've got hotels attached to it, and then you've got the actual convention center and the multiple floors, so... I told the guy who's kind of working together with our maps, he gave me a couple of the smaller maps for GaryCon, and I said, nah, no, you don't understand. I love three maps to keep this thing small, so I need a, like, 600 DPI map for each individual area, so, talking about Gen Con, that's kind of one of the bigger sales forces that we have right now. You know, I can go on these podcasts and I can do video interviews, and we did one not too long ago, and they're great, they're fantastic. What we need, the people who listen to these things and the people who hear us at conventions, is we need them to go to these conventions and say, you guys need to get Consilium, because not being able to find anything is one of the biggest gripes I hear. And the other gripe we hear is food.
So I take it you're putting, as we're sitting here eating pizza during the show, but...
We did work something in, and one of the ideas, and I like to say it's my idea, but, you know, Nick will never agree to that, but one of the ideas that we had that I think... Oh, actually, I'm good. I'm going to finish it. One of the ideas that we had, and I think it's a phenomenal feature, is not only do we list, like, the food services that are available at the venue and various vendors as a vendor that's actually in the convention, so you can actually search them out, so you can search for food and the like... But we're actually creating a way how to do table-side ordering.
Whoa. And nice.
We built it away. And if you guys were at GaryCon last year, it was their first test that they did with where they had, you know, dozens of servers walking around asking people if you want to eat, you know, what do you want to eat? And they actually had a menu from Grand Geneva that they could order from. We are approaching it from a, a Domino's app-esque approach where... we actually have it broken down into the categories of food that's available at the convention, and we have it set up that you can actually have it delivered right to your table.
Whatever venue's at, they understand how gamers work, man. They sit down, and about 8 hours later, they get up.
No, and that's it. No, but you're right. What a precious gaming time. What a benefit that's coming to the venue.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, it's great on the gamer end. But here's the thing, like Larry just said.
Yeah.
When we get into a game, we're not looking up for anything. We're going to start and play that game till the end.
Yep.
So,
we got to watch Larry.
At this point, if I have my phone,
this guy cheats. Yeah. If you take an eye off him,
yeah, it's
but
done.
But if I can all of a sudden click on a button and have a beer sent over to my table while I'm playing a game, that's another beer they sold that they wouldn't have sold before.
Exactly.
Because I'm not going to get up during the game to go get that beer.
Yeah, you would.
Right. Well, maybe I would, but not everybody would.
When it's unlimited spot count,
sure
Gary
like
Con,
it yeah. Right, exactly.
That's when you have your, you know, that's when you got a runner.
But, oh, yeah.
That was one of the things that we thought.
AKA.
Someone's got to die.
Beer bitch. Beer bitch.
Someone's got to die, basically.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, your dad, like, go get the beer.
You're doing like crap today anyway. Yeah. Go get the beer.
Go get the damn beer.
So that was an idea.
That's a really good idea.
And we approach Grand Geneva with this because we know that they're the ones who are kind of putting this menu. And we know that every single, and I've worked in resorts. I know what it's like to have big conventions come in. And every convention, every group has a F&B or food and beverage minimum. And just like that, Gary Con does too. And theirs is not a small minimum because it's Grand Geneva, because they are a top tier resort.
Yeah.
So we're approaching Luke with this, and we're telling him that we're also talking to Grand Geneva, and we approached him. We said, this is going to cut down on your labor costs, having to have the entire floor staffed. And I mean, last year, I don't think I even approached one of them until Nick said, okay, Matt, you need to eat. You've been DMing for 16 hours.
Exactly. Right. Once we sit down, that's it.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that we wanted to give... we're trying to hit every single possible thing that a gamer could think of, and that's why we're approaching it the way we are. So being able to order food right from your table, we thought was just kind of a really cool feature. Because
that's high on the cool factor.
That is really
that's what we thought.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, the thing is, once conventions, that is the food and beer minimum that you have to meet.
Yeah, again, I mean, it cuts on a lot of frustration, too, because, again, if you're taking a break from a game, you got to go stand in a line with everybody at concessions, you know.
Right.
If you put in that order ahead of time, you know, you can keep doing what you're doing. You're saving your precious gaming time over a weekend. You know, you're there for a long weekend. Yeah.
You've been thinking about it all year!
Yeah.
No, that's it. That's going to be the only convention you get to a year.
Yeah.
It's all about the gaming, hence the reason, again. 16 hours of DMing, and you're not going to walk. You're not moving from that damn spot.
Yeah. Well, especially when you're for a company, they just don't let you.
Well, that too.
It's like
that
I might want to get up, but and we've actually talked about the idea because we've got a new employee to the company, and I'm calling her the Dorito Striper, much like the old candy stripers who would walk around offer food. We're going. I'm trying to convince her to walk around and basically take orders, do the delivery orders for like. One of the vendors who's selling Cheetos or Mountain Dew or something like that and go and run it, but we can't have her deliver beer because she's 17.
That's not going to work.
Give it time. Please.
But, so that's something. Now, from that standpoint, you know, Ken, a convention who's looking at using your software, and we haven't talked about pricing yet, and we're not going to go deep into pricing, but so is this something that I think a convention could say, from the standpoint, though, it's going to increase your sales.
Mm-hmm.
Can they maybe see if they can, the convention center or the hotel they're having it at, split the cost or, you know, pick up part of the cost of having this application available?
Sure. It's definitely an idea. And, you know, and that was one of the bigger things is we can approach the convention and we can talk to the people who run GaryCon or Gen Con or any of these bigger conventions. We can talk to them. But we know that ultimately it kind of comes down to what the venue wants them to do since it's their property. So
right.
If we can walk up to Grand Geneva and say, hey, are you willing to cut the F&B budget for GaryCon if we offer all the people a way to order directly from your menu, which would increase your sales and drop your expenses?
Right, and mainly drop their expenses.
Exactly.
I mean, because like you said, the cost of having servers on the floor is unbelievable.
Especially, you know, and you're talking 3 days or even 4 days if you get the early day going, and you're talking, you know, six people per room.
And full days.
Yeah,
and you're not talking about days. You're not talking about an 8-hour.
No, exactly. You're not done at five.
This is a.
So, absolutely, we can approach them in that we haven't, we've gone over pricing, I think, at every board meeting we've talked about because we want to attract as many game conventions and venues as we can. But the other thing is we also want to make sure that none of those costs get just carried right over to the attendee. And that's, you know, and...
Yeah, and again, this is something that definitely benefits the attendee.
Yeah.
But you're right, I don't think it's something they want to pay more for.
No.
I think if you can get... I think it's going to provide such an elevated experience for the attendee that I can see where it's going to be a big plus.
Well, and it is, and we've established the pricing for the attendees, and we were being, you know, we floated, you know, it should be $10 a year, you know, should we do like $5 a month? It's like, well, how many cons do people really go to? It's like me, none. I didn't go to any conventions until I got older, but. There's some people who are, I call them power gamers,
who go
to 5, 6, 7, 8 cons a year, but then there's all those people who fall into the 2 to 3 a year in between.
That's because we work them, Rob. It's not like we're going for fun. We work that.
You sound like I'm a hooker or something.
That's right. I saw so little of Nexus.
that's the problem. Again, we love going to the cons, but
right?
we go to work them.
Right.
So
we've talked about it, and I know you said you didn't want to really go into huge pricing, but I did want to at least float the idea that we wanted to be as insanely cheap for the people as possible. Because they're already at the convention, they already see the list of vendors, they see the list of activities, so we do have a free option for that. Because, you know, we wanted people to be able to sign up for free, and if they didn't want to pay the extra, they can. What we did put as a cost was 99 cents.
Wow! Okay, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, and...
And so okay, you could probably easily sell the app,
right? And no, but that's what you want. You want that price point that people go, yeah, you know, something, an extra buck where I can book all my events, schedule them down. It's going to remind me what events are coming up, I assume, right?
Yep.
So, you know, Yeah, that's...
Yeah, you just download the app.
Sold food and table.
Yeah, he's just sold. Wait, they're going to bring me beer at my table? Yes, yes, for 99 cents, I'm going to get beer at my table.
I mean, hell, a beer's probably 10 bucks to right? damn con anyway.
Well, you know? And so, and, you know, we floated bigger numbers, obviously, around, and we did think of some extra fees that they could pay for, but they're... It kind of follows the same mentality. It's like, you're already paying how much money to get into these conventions? I mean, and we figured, do we really want to float an extra cost on top of that and try to convince? So we said 99 cents. 99 cents, and you get all of this insane access, stuff that, you know, you just don't normally get. So we figured 99 cents, and it gives you all those features. And there's obviously some, you know, there's some better perks. So let's say, like, for $5 a year, you can get... You know, unlimited cons for the entire year, kind of deal.
Right. So if you're somebody who likes a power con, they can do that.
And part of the other benefit, really, to the attendee, and obviously, I mean, there's so many already, but the other idea we had was, we want to give them a way to get that dollar back. And we didn't need to, but we wanted to kind of keep pitching. We wanted to give them more ideas. So part of our vendor package that we offer, because the vendors would pay to be listed in our directory so that they could be searched, so they could be found. And we've got different tiers. We've actually got search results, and we kept saying, we don't want to be Google. But when you're paying for search results, you very quickly become Google. So, and we set it up in a really, really inexpensive way. But what part of our vendor package is they have to have, for the duration of the con, at least one item that's 10% off. And there's no rules on what it is. There's no rules on how much that you have to bring a day. It's just during the day, you have to have one item 10% off. And the idea was that con goer, that attendee, can now go to any single vendor, get their 10% off, and they got their dollar back.
Yeah. And more if you, like us, spend up this little money at cons.
Right.
So, yeah, no, 10% off is a big discount, actually.
You probably get more business, too, because people are just sitting at the thing. I mean, where they may have said, hey, I'm not going to go run for, you know, a beer, or I'm not going to run for, like, a sub right now. We'll just get something later. Now they're just getting at the table.
Well, that's it. I mean, again.
It sounds like a no-brainer.
This is all pretty much no-brainer. It's nice to see this, again, come into the world of gaming conventions. Like I said, I've seen this in other style of conventions and meetings and so on. So it's really nice to see it. And again, you've taken all into account a lot of things that are specific to gaming conventions, mm-hmm. which is great. All right. Gentlemen, are there questions?
What's, again, so you have some conventions you're looking to kind of get its footing in. What's your timetable for like an ideal timetable, kind of like a rollout of, you know, when will be the next time? Like, I obviously have GaryCon, you know, are there other conventions in the future?
And GaryCon's coming up
really a few weeks,
like a week and a half.
I was just gonna say, I was just thinking, that's almost
They say crunch time, but literally the last 2 months have been crunch time. So there's no specific time for crunching. It's actually, if you go to the website, which is concilium-app.com, if you go to the website...
I just took my job.
Sorry, my bad. But if you go to the website, we actually have an upcoming cons page. So that lists GaryCon, QC Fest, non-con for next year. But like I said, the big sales force is the people. You know, we want these people to be saying, I'm going to be going to this place... You guys need to get Concilium because you've got 12,000 square feet in one vendor hall. We need, you know, we need a way to know what's what. So,
I actually was thinking that too.
Yeah, I know that's
where the vendors, where the rooms,
it's a bitch to find
where you get those side rooms, like you know, where we used to live.
You know, we do Midwest Gaming Classic every year,
and it's
our big event of the year. We do lots of conventions and cons.
It sprawls across an entire hotel, right?
I mean, literally a whole, and not just a hotel. They literally put a tent out the size of a football field. For the vendors. It's gigantic.
But because it sprawls out over a hotel, like, there's vendors that are, like, just in what would have been a hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Where is that?
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's a great con.
It's an amazing convention. But
yeah, it would be one that's hard to find things in because, you know, we used to be in a hotel room.
Just in a couple hotel rooms.
Yeah. Right, now they've moved us to an actual convention room.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Yeah.
In
in the ground.
No. Yeah,
somehow we always end up in the basement.
They moved us to the basement. Like,
everybody else does. Right. Welcome to G2B Towers. So,
they have events as well. All the tournaments. Yeah. And, like, they have the presentations, and then they do have the board game area where people didn't play. Maybe they could start introducing stuff.
And, kind of one of our thoughts about, like, the board gamers and the people who just show up to play games, you know, that they may not find an activity they really want to do, or they've got an hour before their next one. We actually did add in a way for the attendees to be able to host their own game that will show up on the activity list. So, if you got an hour
in the game library, thinking this.
Right, exactly. Right, about to start Dark Tower, join me!
Exactly. Yeah. And the way we set it up was there's actually an activity submission form. If you've got the necessary access, you know, obviously free users, we're not really going to offer this to free users, because otherwise you're going to get people going in and saying, "Hi, here's My Little Pony, whatever," and saying, joke's on you. No, it's, we wanted people to be able to say, "Hey guys, I'm in the lobby, we've got three people for a commander event, we need a fourth."
Right.
And then they can actually set how many slots are available at the table, each individual activity can do this. So you can actually reserve long ahead of time your seat at the table, which is one thing we got to fight with the cons about is, you know, a lot of them want to do the paper and the tickets. Some people refuse to do the paper and the tickets, so we have to find that happy medium. So,
yeah.
Also, the hotels that are around there, some of these conventions, too, try to do things in their convention room.
Right, have sub-events.
Oh, right.
Areas after the hours are done.
Right.
And people just want to get up to game after.
And as long as we have maps of, as long as we got maps of those,
keep going.
Sorry. As long as we have maps of those areas, we can geo-coordinate them and actually have them show up and find your way to anything you need to. We have obviously had to add a disclaimer saying if you walk into walls while you're watching the app, you hold harmless agreement for any broken
nose. Stop watching the app so much.
It's not Pokemon's fault.
But in answer to your question, our rollout is generally, we have to meet with con owners, we have to meet with their people, and we have to meet with the vendor, or the venue. And once we do, and once we get a yes, I am the core developer for this, so most of my job is hearing Nick say, "Okay, hey Matt, we just got QC Fets, you need to make a website for him." "Okay, when is it?" "It's next week." "Great." Okay, so we did have one guy approach us at a, and I really wanted to help him out, but we had one guy approach us. He said, "Hey, I'm running a comic convention, and we've got X amount of tables, and, you know, how much would pricing be?" And I'm like, "Okay, well, let me get back to you." And turns out it was in 3 days. I just had to contact him. I said, "Look, if you can get me every single one of your attendees, every single one of your vendors, every single map that you have, and every single possible activity you got going on, I can probably whip it out for you." He didn't respond to me until the next morning, which is the day of the con. Sorry, buddy, I can't help you.
So. Nice of you to even offer that, because I would have just said, "No, ain't happening."
I did tell
Nick that. Yeah, right. We always go.
I did tell Nick that if he did sign up, then I was getting all of the money. So our rollout is basically we have to meet first, and then once we know it, it's just a matter of sitting down and doing it.
Again, very, very cool idea. Again, I saw the example app, but again, now that I kind of know how it integrates with conventions, I'm actually pretty excited about it.
Yeah, me too. I'm hoping to see this at a lot more conventions.
So, again, if people are looking to check out more information about the application, again, where do people go?
You can go right to our website, which is concilium-app.com, and I'll get you the spelling so we don't have to confuse people.
Well, again,
links on our website to this, so don't worry about that. So,
go to the website, concilium-app. That will have a list of everything that we kind of do, how it works. And then what we have is we have a drop-down menu for the upcoming conventions we're actually at. So how it works is you'll go to the GaryCon drop-down.
Which, believe me, at this point you aren't getting into anymore. So, but continue. Because GaryCon's long been since sold out for this.
We'll have a drop-down, and it'll basically have upcoming events toward the specific page. And you can go right to that page, and you can register however you want to. We are also going to be creating a commerce page, basically, so that if we don't have it finished yet, you can purchase it long in advance knowing that we're going to be there. So we got a couple different ways, but for now, concilium-app.com gives a good breakdown of what we do.
Excellent. And so, and your the website of your company is?
Epic Quest Publishing, com. And if that's wrong, then I'll get you a number.
Again, we will have links. Don't worry about
it. It's linked on
that.
Live video.
Just click on the links and so on. Talked about some of their other products. Again, I know we've talked a bunch about Consilium. But only because Consilium is an amazing product. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of this in the convention industry. But they make so many other great products and have a lot of other cool stuff going on. So check that site out to find out what other cool stuff they've got going on. Rob, why don't you
wait.
Oh, wait,
I gotta do a little cleanup.
Do a little cleanup.
Go ahead, Davis.
I was busy derailing the show earlier, mm-hmm. having no idea what
go.
I was talking about.
Thank you.
Getting names wrong. So Troy had said that he is going to Proto Spell
in Milwaukee. Yes.
Proto Spiel in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And so I figure as long as I butcher the heck out of it.
You might as well give,
I might as well give a little
right
bit of a plug
for Proto Spiel in Milwaukee.
Yes. And so
what's the dates on Proto Spiel?
It's March 31st mm-hmm. until April 2nd.
Right.
And as a designer, it's a $50 pass, but as a playtester, mm-hmm. $5 for the weekend.
Ooh, that's a great
as a
deal
play
for the
tester.
Weekend.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
If Troy's bringing any games, I mean, they're all good.
Okay, so.
Yeah. So that's at Best Western Plus.
So. Yeah. So if you guys, and we've had Troy on the show before, and we've
super great to the show.
Yeah, and again, because he makes amazing games.
Okay? He does.
So
I've loved every one of them.
A little shout out to him right now. So yeah.
Conquest of the Stars. If you're, Goblins Ate My Chicken.
Right. If you're Proto Spiel, check out his games, okay? But let's wrap up what we were doing.
Yeah.
Thank you for derailing the show again, Larry.
I feel like he derailed it this time. It wasn't just for me. I feel like it was needed.
So you were just making up for your mistake. So, Rob, go ahead and take us out.
Want to know more about Troy's game? Well, guess what? There's a link right on our website on the top right side where you can pick up Conquest of the Stars. It's a game that Guys, Games, and Beer still plays. Don't forget links to Epic Quest Publishing are also in the description down below the podcast. And if you're watching us on YouTube, there's like 2 or 3 people. All right, there's more than that. But not a lot. Nice comments last week, by the way. Thanks, guys.
It was a good interview last week.
Really appreciate it. If you like the Guys, Games, and Beer podcast, why wouldn't you? I mean, really? Come on.
Yeah, we drink. Come on.
www.guysgamesandbeer.net on Facebook, which is where we do something every day. I mean, stuff is going on every day on Facebook. Game giveaways, you name it. Us talking stupid crap to
each
other.
We talk smack.
www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. Naked Larry pictures this week. Just saying.
Whoa, God.
Whoa. No.
Totally.
No.
Totally doing the Harry Berry this week.
All right. Okay, all you bear fans.
On Twitter, at Guys Games Beer.
No and in it, the Twitter address.
YouTube,
www.youtube.com/GuysGamesAndBeer.
And everywhere else, just look for Guys Games and Beer. We're on every podcast.
Yeah, Google
we're on
that
every
shit.
Podcast aggregator, no matter what your device.
As always, today is Tuesday night. We're doing a live show. This show will drop on Thursday, so you guys are going to miss this. But if you watch this live tonight, I will be giving away a free game on the Twitter account tomorrow. Check us out sometime tomorrow. There will be a free game online.
And always on Facebook, Free Game Friday.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
Unless I forget or I'm drunk.
See, I give away the crappy games. He actually gives away good games on
I
Friday.
Don't know if 2 weeks in a row really constitutes I give away good
okay, games. Okay, okay.
I feel really bad. Feel really bad. It's like, I finally got one. I'm like, dude, oh, sorry.
But I may even put up a couple tomorrow. We'll see how the day goes. But definitely check out Twitter tomorrow for some free games.
Thank you very much for watching, Guys, Games, and Beer. See you next week. sheep and a schnauzer.
All right, I'm done.